Here we go. So let's start. We'll start with the Mishnah on Daf Beis. Again, if you have your Gemara, great. If not, on the back page of the handout. And we'll read the Mishnah and Rashi and the Mishnah and discuss that for a little bit. And then we'll deal with one sort of meta topic, important topic to our sugya and really to all of Nezikin overall. Even before we get to the Mishnah, what's the name of this Masechta? Bava Kamma. But what's the real name of the Masechta? Nezikin, right? Because Bava Kamma means the first gate, right? There's Bava Kamma, Bava Metzia, Bava Basra, the three gates. But that doesn't actually mean anything, right? It just means the three sections of what's really called Maseches Nezikin. There's actually one other Masechta where we have three Bavas for the 30 Prakim. Anyone know offhand? Maseches Taros. The Mishnah isn't really referred to like that, but the Tosefta, we have the three Bavas for the three sets of 10 chapters. In any event, it's called Maseches Nezikin because it's about Nezikin. It's about damages. Bava Kamma in particular, most of Bava Kamma is about torts, right? If someone damages someone else, do you have to pay? In what scenarios? What amount? We're going to get into all of those details. So let's read the Mishnah. Arba Avos Nezikin. Right, so the Mishnah gives us this framing. There are four fathers, literally, or four super categories of Nezikin, of damages. Hashor, Vehabor, Vehamave, Vehahever. So some of these are going to be clearer than others, but Shor means ox, Bor means a pit, and Mave means something. We'll see. It's either a person or it's Shane, which is an animal's enjoyment, let's say an animal eating fruit and that sort of thing. And Hever means fire. Okay, so these are the four categories. Lo Harei Ashor Kearei Hamave, Velo Harei Hamave Kearei Ashor. The category of Shor, of an ox that damages, usually through violent goring, that's dissimilar to Mave, which again, either is an ox eating something for its own benefit or a person who damages. Velo Harei Hamave Kearei Ashor, they're different from one another. Right, and the implication here is if you had one, if you knew one, you wouldn't necessarily know the other. That's why it's necessary for the Torah to teach us both. When we get to the Gemara, we'll derive exactly how we get each of them. Velo zevizeh, and both of those together, bor and mave, sheyesh ben ruachayim, both of those are living things, right? Oxen, whether through goring things or through eating things, are living, or people are also living things. Those are all living things, but neither of those are kehareh ha'esh, she'en bo ruach chayim. Right? Fire is not a living thing. So you wouldn't be able to learn out from fire to those, or from those to fire, because there's this distinction as to whether they're alive or not. Velo zeh vezeh, shedarkan leilechu lahazik. All of the above, right? Shor, an animal goring another animal, mave, whether that means eating something or a person damaging, and esh, all of those move. Right? All of those are mobile. None of those are similar, though, to kehare habor, she'en darko leilichol hazik, right? Pits don't move, by definition. So there are differences between all of these categories. Hatzana shavash mehen, shedarkan lehazik. The common denominator is, it's their way to damage. These are all things that damage, right? A pit damages things, an ox damages things, whether by eating or by goring, or a person damages things, or fire. So all of these have a tendency to damage. Ushmirasan alecha, and their guarding, meaning the responsibility to guard them, is upon you. It's the owner's responsibility to guard each of these things. Ukishahizik, and when these things commit damage, chav hamazik, the damager, is owes l'shan teshlumi nezek b'meitav haaretz. I'm afraid we're out of sheets. The person who damages has to pay tashlumei nezek, the damages, v'meitav haaretz. Meitav meaning highest quality land. There's different qualities of land, or different qualities of land, high quality, average quality, and low quality. If you're damaged and you're paid for that, you can insist on getting high quality land. One question we're not going to talk about today, but we will talk about in a future shir. It's a very lumdish chakira. It'll sound very abstract, but it's actually really interesting, is why are you chayav to pay, right? Let's say my ox damages someone's field or damages someone else's ox, right? I have to pay for that. Well, why do I have to pay? So the question really rides on which words to emphasize here. We say, on the one hand, shmirasan alecha, right? The responsibility of this ox is upon you, meaning it's my job to guard my ox so that it doesn't damage other animals, people, things. So is that why I'm chayav? Because it's my responsibility to make sure that my ox doesn't damage people and really anything, and I failed, right? I failed to guard my shor, and that's why I'm chayev? Or is it because it's mamoncha, which is actually not in this line, but in parallel lines, it's because these are things you own, right? Your ox, your pit, your fire. In some sense, you own it, or you're causally responsible for its existence. And things that you own, things that you created, you're responsible for. Not because you have to watch them and you fail to watch them, but the shor, let's say your ox damages another ox. So really, who should pay? In theory, the ox should pay. But, okay, oxen don't have bank accounts. So since I own the ox, it's my responsibility to pay almost on its behalf. Because I own it, I have to pay for the damage it does. As opposed to the first approach, which is, it's my responsibility to watch it. I failed to watch it, therefore I have to pay. The second approach is, no, I didn't fail. My ox did something wrong. But since I own it, I'm going to have to cover all of the damages. Anyway, we'll get to that chakira in greater depth another time, but just putting it on the table because it does tie in to the language of our Mishnah. Let's look at Rashi quickly here. Arba avos nezikin, right? There are these four super categories, fathers of damages. Avos kari lehanach dechsivan bikra behedya. Right, Rashi says, what's the difference between av and a tolda? The Gemara is going to get into this in some depth, but for now, an av is something that's written explicitly in the pasuk. The Gemara is going to get into what's a tolda, but an av is something that's explicit in the pasuk. Hashor v'habor, keseder shehen ksuvin b'parsha, the order that they appear in the parsha, sidran b'mishnah, that's the order that the Mishnah organized them in this list, right? Shor bor ma v'hever. The parsha Rishona, Nemra Bishor, Shnia Bibor, the first parsha is about a shor, the second one's about a boar. Mave, Mefarish Mikmar, the Gemara is going to discuss whether it's Shane or Adam, right? An animal eating something, or people damaging things. And Hever is fire, Kisete Esh. So Rashi, if you just read Rashi quickly, you don't even notice what Rashi's doing, but it's actually really interesting. If you take a look at the handout, which first source is just the Psukim in Shmos Perak Kaf Aleph and Kaf Beis. But you see what Rashi's doing. Rashi's explaining the order of the Mishnah, right? The Mishnah says, Shor, Bor, Mave, and Hever. And then it goes on to explain why each one, you couldn't learn one from the other in a different order, right? It goes Shor, Mave, Hever, Esh, and Bor, right? It switches the order. So why do we start out with this order of Shor, Bor, Mave, and Hever? Rashi says it fits the order of the Psukim. So like, if you don't look up the Psukim, it doesn't mean anything. But look at the Psukim here. Shmos, Perakaf Al, this is Parshas Mishpatim. If an ox gores a man or a woman and they die, the shor gets killed. What if the shor has done it three times? Etc. Then you can pay a ransom to save your shor. Or if it damages a person, what if it damages a slave? That's shor. Then in Pasuk Lamed Gimel, v'chi yiftach ish bor. If a person opens a pit, okich reish bor. If you dig a pit, v'lo yichasenu and don't cover it, and then an animal falls in, Balabor Yishlem, you have to pay for it. We go back to shor a little bit, just to keep things interesting. And then if you jump ahead in Perek Kaf Beis, the last few lines here, where it talks about, fine, it talks about some other things, but in Pasuk Dalid, we have this very cryptic Pasuk. I put it in italics, because it's not even clear what's going on here. Ki Yav Ish, Sade Ocherem, Vishilaches V'iro, Uvi'er B'Sdei Acher, Metav Sadeo Metav Karmo Yishalem. So if a person destroys or eats a field or a vineyard, and he sends his bi'iro, it's that same root as yaver ish, but it's not clear exactly what it means. Maybe it means an animal, and it consumes in another field, you have to pay meitav sadehu. By the way, meitav sadehu means the high-quality field. That's at the end of our Mishnah, right? You have to pay b'meitav ha'aretz. That comes from there. So it's not exactly clear what's going on here. The Gemara is going to explain this is talking about shein, right? If an animal eats something, it also does say ki yaver ish. It does talk about a person damaging. So maybe when we say that the third thing on the list is mave, and we're going to see in the Gemara there's a machlokas, whether it's Shein or whether it's Adam, maybe it's because this pasuk, it's clearly referring to this pasuk, mave, whatever it is, and it's just a little ambiguous. Is it talking about Shein, an animal eating a field, or maybe it's talking about Adam amazik, a person damaging, ki yaver ish, a person is mentioned there. Maybe that's why it's ambiguous. But it corresponds to mave, whatever mave might be. And then finally, hever, meaning burning. And that's the next pasuk, kisei tse'esh. Rashi just said that, right? Hever, kisei tse'esh. If a fire breaks out, umatza kotzim v'nechal gadish, it burns thorns, it burns a haystack, o akamo, hasadeh, or a pile of grain, or a whole field, shalem yishalem ha-maviris ha-be'ira. The person who started the fire has to pay. But this is it, in order. Shor bor, mave, whatever that is, and hever, that's the order of the mission. That's the point Rashi was saying. I think you just can't really appreciate Rashi without seeing it inside in the Pesukim. Okay, and then Rashi, lo areya shor kareya maveh, Rashi starts getting into this idea of comparing between, if you have this but not that, what would you be able to learn out? We're just going to very quickly skim it because we're going to do it in more depth later. Klomar, ikaz rachman ashor, lo nafik maveh mineh, if we only would mention shor, right, an animal that violently damages, we wouldn't have learned out maveh, whatever maveh is, shein or adam. Ve'am tu lahachi, it's strichu lemichtav, that's why we need to say both, because we wouldn't learn one from the other. Ulahachi nakat bereisha, kare hamaveh. Well, this is why we stick maveh right at the beginning, right after shor, even though previously it was number 3 on the list. Avelo nakat keseder, lo areya shor kare abor. We don't follow the original list of shor bor. Instead, we stick maveh there. Mishum the sulo havi matzil misni lo zevezeh sheish bemurachayim. You wouldn't have been able to make the next line about, you know, these all are living things, and bor is not, and fire is not a living thing. You wouldn't be able to do that. The habor ein bo ruachayim. So that's one reason why you don't do it. But oh, tamachrina the harabusa shmina the afal gav sheish l'shneim ruachayim lo nafi chab mechavrei. Also, even though they both are living things, you wouldn't be able to learn one from the other. We wouldn't have known that if you changed the order. So Rashi is explaining what the order is. Again, we're going to get into this in more detail later. Gemara mefarish my lo harei the kamar. What exactly is this lo harei? I wouldn't be able to learn it out. Again, that's for the Gemara. We'll hold off on that for now. Right again, just finishing up the Rashi's here. Kareya eish she'ein bo ruachayim. Right, fire is not a living thing as opposed to the other two, Shor and Maveh. V'ilo kas v'rachman hava min alipater. If you hadn't mentioned fire, I would have thought only living things that damage your chayev as opposed to fire. Lo zevezeh, elu shlosh nadarkam leiluch lahazik. Right, all three, Shor, Maveh, and Hever, fire, all of them go out and damage as opposed to Bor. You wouldn't have learned Bor. Atzara shavem, ifarish v'gmar, lasui imai. Fine, b'meitav ha'aretz, this is that last two words in the mission, we saw the pasuk it's based on, me'idis nechasav, from the highest quality of his land, yigveh, d'mei hazeko, you can collect the money of the damage, imrotz l'firalo karka, if he wants to pay back with land. Rashi's implying, if you choose to pay back with cash, or metaltalin, you can give any metaltalin, right? But if you want to pay with land, then you can force to pay high quality land. But the Gemara says, if it's metaltalin, you can even give subin, you can give some sort of low quality grain or hay or something like that if you're paying cash. So cash is king, but if you want to pay with land, you can force him to pay with meitav aretz, with idis, with the highest quality land. Okay, so this is the Mishnah. The Gemara gets into questions of avos and toldos, which we saw very quickly in Rashi, right? We know the four avos, the four main categories, they're based on the psukim. What are the subcategories? And what are the implications of being a category and a subcategory? We're not going to get into that now. That'll be for next time. But right now, we have an important question to ask, which is it usur to be mazik? Simple question, right? If I go, I go to someone's house and I punch a hole in the wall. So it's very clear that would be adam hamazik, right? I'm an adam. I'd have to pay for the damages. That's clear. But what's less clear is, was it usur to do that? Was it prohibited to punch a hole in their wall? What do people think offhand? What's Baltashis? What? There's a lav? What's the lav? So like there's no clear answer, right? There's no immediate clear answer. As we'll see, that's why you can give a whole shir on it, because there's no immediate clear answer. But this is actually a really controversial question. On the one hand, it seemed like everyone had this intuition. Of course it's usur. You can't just go over and to someone else's things and break their stuff. Certainly you can't injure them. That's a lot clearer. But you definitely can't just break someone's stuff. But when you think about it and say, well, what's the pasuk? Where does it say that you can't do it? It's a lot harder to find what that is. And so we're going to spend the rest of our time today looking into this question. Both, is it really usur? At what level is it usur? And if so, what's the source? And maybe if there's some differences or some idiosyncrasies among the different sources. So that's our plan. This is one of the sort of classical meta questions around Nezikin. Is it usur to be mazik? Like a very basic thing. Usually, like, you know, you have a mesechta. Mesechta is gittin, so you know, gittin. There's a mitzvah to give a get. Of course, it's not, you don't want to be in a scenario like that, but in the certain scenario, there's a mitzvah to give a get. Or mitzvah of, meseches Rosh Hashanah. Right, so there are all sorts of mitzvahs to do in Rosh Hashanah. It's very clear. Here in Bava Kamma, ironically, there's a lot of details about what happens if damage does take place, how you have to pay for it, in what circumstances. There's a lot of details about that, but there's no clarity on the most basic question, which is there an isser here? Is there a prohibition? Is it actually usser to destroy someone's property? So we'll get to that. Was there a hand? Did I see a hand? Yeah. Okay, so there's going to be a lot. So yes, that's a great question. And there's a lot of distinctions we have to make. So let's start by making a couple of them. And we already alluded to this a little bit. There's two, sort of big picture, there's two different types of entities that cause damage, and there's two different types of entities that can be damaged. Right, the two entities that cause damage, generally, you know, big picture distinction is Adam versus Mamo. Right, a person can damage things, or someone's stuff, or something a person owns can damage things. Right, that can include animals, that can include a pit. Again, ownership may be slightly different with that, or a fire, or just something that you have, or the person themselves. Right, those will be different. There presumably will be different levels of responsibility, and then also the thing that's being damaged can be another person or an item. Right, if you kill a person, that's really really bad. That actually has nothing to do with Baba Kama if you kill a person, because that's murder. Right. Even if your animal kills a person, it's not quite a Bava Kama scenario. Less than that, there are still differences between damaging Adam and Kalim, right? Damaging a person or damaging their stuff. So it's just important to, you know, there's really like, if you make a chart, right, there's four different things: Adam be Adam, Kalim be Kalim, or Behema be Behema, and then Adam be Behema, Behema be Adam, etc. And again, Behema, Kalim, these are all just stand-ins for your stuff overall. Let's jump ahead actually to source number four, just to see a very clear scenario. Source number four, this is Hilchos Chovel Umazik of the Rambam, right? Halachos about damaging people and things. And the Rambam here in Perek Hey very clearly says, Aser la'adam lachvo bein be'atzmo bein be'chaveru. It's prohibited for a person to damage a person, whether that's themselves, right? It's aser to damage yourself, to injure yourself, or your fellow, or someone else. So right, he says it's aser, very clearly. V'lo achovel bilvad, not just if you injure them, like you make them bleed, or they, you know, their value decreases. El kol ha'makeh adam kasher mi'Yisrael. If you hit a kasher person among the Jews, this is to the exclusion of, let's say, someone who's chayiv malkos, right? You're allowed to hit, if you're the right person to do the job, you're allowed to hit someone who's chayiv malkos, but if not, it's prohibited to hit a adam kasher mi'Yisrael, bein katan, bein gadol, right? Child or adult, bein ish, bein isha, man or woman, derech nitzayon, if you do it in a manner of fighting, hareza over below sase. That's a vav, that's a negative prohibition. Shenemar lo yosif lehakoso. Right, that you should not continue hitting them. So if you hit someone extra times, right, although I think it's pen yosif lehakoso, but in any event, right, if you hit someone more times than is required, then even in Malkos, you're chayev, and that's actually the paradigm, which I think is always very interesting in terms cases we have of too much force. When you authorize force but do too much, that's actually the classical example of the Isser Lav, the Isser Lahazik, the Isser Lahakos, I should say. So I always find that interesting, but that's for another time. And so the Rambam says, "Im izhira Torah shelo lahosif ba'akas hachote," if the Torah says it's prohibited to hit someone who's chayav malkos an extra time, a 40th time beyond the 39 they're chayav, let's say, kavachomer lemalkes at tzaddik, all the more so that hitting someone who's a tzaddik, here tzaddik means someone who's not guilty, sort of a normal person who hasn't been convicted of some lav, so hitting someone who's not guilty, certainly that's aser. So definitely a person hitting another person, that's aser. That's very clear. We have a clear pasuk, lo yosif lakoso, or pen yosif lakoso, as the Rambam says. What gets slightly less clear, yeah, Bernie.
Once a person gets 39 malchus, it's the entire political status. In other words, or let's say a doctor says
20 malchus. So there's a Gemara about this. The Gemara says, after he gets the 39 malchus, it says, v'nikla achicha le'enecha. So the Gemara says, once he gets those malchus, he's considered achicha, meaning now you can't hit him anymore. That's the drush the Gemara has. I think the Rambam is using the word tzaddik to the exclusion of someone, right? They were never chai of anything. They weren't chai of malchus, and they just became, they just are now even with the law. But someone who never was chai at all, definitely it would be usher to hit them.
That's a weird
say more.
Because it's not
saying that to hurt the Russia more implies that I can't hurt the Tzaddik at all.
Well, so it's not, it's right, although I think the Rambam is sort of zeroing in on that 40th Makkah. I mean, the 39 you gave them, they were chayv 39, they got 39, good. Now they're not chayv anything. Now they're just a normal person, despite their, you know, their less than savory past.
Let's call it more of a logical argument.
I guess the point is, hitting them is usur, despite the bad things they did in the past. They're not currently chayv Makkah, you can't hit them. Definitely someone who doesn't have an unsavory past, you shouldn't be able to hit them either. So, I mean, you could see it as, you know, it's the same category, but if you had to the extent you had a Hava Mina, why it would be okay to hit the person after getting Malkos, you wouldn't have that. So I guess that's another argument in favor. The Rambam calls it a Kal V'chomer. But I hear what you're saying. It's not a classical Kal V'chomer.
Specifically a non-Jew of this? There's no
Isser
for hitting a non-Jew?
It sounds like the Rambam is not including that in this Isser D'Oraisa. Right, and again, it's presumably because it says achicha in the pasuk there. Right, pen yosif lagoso ilam akarabav nikla achicha le'enecha. So that's achicha. It wouldn't apply to non-Jews. Obviously, there are other reasons why it's prohibited to hit a non-Jew, but it wouldn't be this pasuk. Yeah. Okay, so we have a case of adam be'adam, right? A person hitting and injuring another person. But what if it's less than that? What if it's a person damaging something? So for this, source number 5, this is from the second parak of Bava Basra. The first two parakim of Bava Basra are really about what's called Hilchos Shechinim, like the laws of neighbors. We tend to think of like being a good neighbor as like a nice thing. You know, it's good to be a good neighbor, but there are actually halachos about how to be, at least in some cases, in extreme cases, how to be a good neighbor, how not to encroach on your neighbor's property or not have nuisances to their property. So some examples of that here in source 5, Marchikin es hasulam min hashovach arba amos. We keep a ladder away from the dovecote, which is a word that people only know if they're learning Mishnayos. It has no other application in real life, but it's where you keep your doves, right? So you keep the ladder away from the shovach, from the dovecote, arba amos, at least 4 amos, 6 to 8 feet away. Why? Kadesh lo tikvo tanimia. That way, some sort of gopher-like animal, I don't even know what it is, won't be able to jump in. If it's less than 4 amos, it'll be able to jump. Fine. You keep the wall away from something dripping, 4 amos. In order you can be able to have a ladder there, it won't fall. Again, these points of trying to be considerate to your neighbor, it's not just a nice thing, it can actually be enforced by the court. And so now the Gemara says, maybe this Mishnah is against Rabbi Yossi's view. Rabbi Yossi is very much, you could call a libertarian type of view. This is my house, I can do what I want, I don't need to think about the impact it'll have on my neighbor's property. So maybe this Mishnah goes against Rabbi Yossi. And the Gemara says, no, afilu tam Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi would even agree here. Ha'amar Ravashi, ki avina b'Rav Kana, haba amar. Ravashi, somebody who's by Rav Kana, he said, mod Ravasi, Rabbi Yossi, begire dide. Rabbi Yossi agrees with his own arrows, which means a more direct case than just, you know, putting up a ladder somewhere. This is more direct. What does that mean? Hachanam, so to hear, putting the ladder near the shovach is going to be direct. How so? Zimnin debahadi min demanach le yasva b'chor v'kafza. Maybe the second you put the ladder there, the gopher or whatever it is waiting to jump right up, and it'll go and grab the doves right away. So it's not just that you're creating a possible danger, but you're directly facilitating the snatching of the doves. It might be that you're doing that. So even Rabbi Yossi would agree, even though he generally is of a more libertarian disposition, I do what I want in my field, you do what you want in your field. But if it's going to directly lead to damage, then even Rabbi Yossi's modeh. The Gemara says, "V'ha gramahu." That's grama. You're not directly doing anything to the doves. You're putting up a ladder. Then the gopher or whatever other animal is doing the damage. That's grama at best. Right? You're causing. It's indirect causation. Why should that be so problematic? Amar of Tuvi Bar Masna, Zoso Meres, Grama bin Nezikin, Aser. Okay, so you know what? It is Grama. But guess what? Grama is Aser by Nezikin, right? Depending on the different cases, sometimes Grama is Aser, less Aser, depends on the scenario, comes up a lot in Shabbos, which has its own internal logic. But by Nezikin, by causing damage, Grama is Aser, so it's Aser to put, even according to Yossi, it's Aser to put up your ladder near the doves, because there's a good chance that will lead to it's indirect, but it's pretty certain that it will lead to the doves being damaged. So what do we see from here? We see that causing nezek is usur, right? We haven't yet said why it's usser, but it seems like there is some isser of causing nezik, even though it's not direct. Now, there's two different ways of thinking about this, right? Do we say, okay, grum up a nezik and usser, that's because it's me acting. I'm the one putting the ladder here, and it's going to immediately lead to something, so I am chayav. But it's not like if my shor damages someone, that's usser. Is it usser for my shor to damage someone? It's only usser for me, myself, to put the ladder there and create that damage. Maybe if it's my shor, I'm not chayav. It's not a clear source about my mamon being mazi. It's only a clear source about me being mazi by grum. That's one way of reading it. The other way of thinking about it is, no, we call this grum ben ezekin, but it's not really you, it's really the ladder, right? You're putting the ladder there. You know the ladder is going to lead to damage. In some sense, it's the ladder causing the damage. It's not really you. And maybe this could be seen as a source for your items, your things, your mamon being mazik. It's at least not fully clear. Let's go back now. Okay, question, yeah.
As far as person causing damage, mm-hmm. why isn't that a form of
an Okay, there is an opinion like that.
Because what you're doing, that's essentially, that you're not stealing, but in effect you're
causing a loss.
Loss.
Yeah, I mean, so there is an opinion like that. I don't know if I put it on the sheet, actually. Probably should add it. But generally, let's say the reason why most people don't say that view, all these views are going to be things that most people don't say, right? Because they're all different approaches. But generally, gneva means you need to take it. If you don't take it, you're not gaining anything. That just doesn't fall under the category of gneva. It's something else. It might not be great, but it's hard to say that it's gneva if I'm not benefiting from it. That's at least the classical definition of gneva, is something I benefit from, right? But 100%, there is a view that mentions, that counts gneva as the source here. Okay. So before we get to the specific sources, let's look at this interesting machlokas achronim between the Mishnah Melech and the Minchas Chinuch. We're not going to read the entirety of sources 2 and 3, but at least parts of them. So the Mishnah Melech, in context, he quotes this opinion, Marima Tshuva Chelek Aleph Siman Kuf Yud Vav. The claim here is Yesh Le'Estapek Iyam Rinan Bi Isura De Rabbanan Ein Shliach Le'Dvar Avera. Source number 2. Mm-hmm. So, right, yesh shliach ledvar avera, ein shliach ledvar avera. Generally, we say ein shliach ledvar avera. If I tell someone, please be my shliach, be my agent, do this on my behalf, and I don't know, steal $100 from my friend, and then they go ahead and steal that money. Who's chayev? He is. I'm not chayev because what's the logic? Ein shliach ledvar avera. Right, he's not considered my agent for the purposes of this, and the logic behind it is divrei harav, v'divrei haTalmid, divrei mishomim. Right? Why is he listening to me instead of listening to Hashem? Hashem told him not to steal. Why is he listening to me and stealing instead of listening to the Torah? So the question that's raised here is: do we say this by Yisurim derabanan? So kevan demina Torah chashiv shliach. Maybe, right? If you think about it, if somebody's only asur midarabanan, that means the midaraisa, it's mutter. So midaraisa, they're a shliach, right? Because the Torah didn't prohibit whatever they're doing. So it should just be normal shlichus on a deraisa level. That's on the one hand. Or, odilma, afilu b'milei derabanan. Even regarding derabanans, dvar avera mikriya, it's still called an avera. V'shayach be, divri rav, divri talmud, divri mishom. And the same logic still applies, right? It's still wrong to, what's a good iser derabanan? I don't know, we have to think of a good one. That's not a mitzvah shebegufo. Not having a good one right now. But that's the gufo. That's the body. It has to be something that's not that you can have it a shlichus for in the first place, right? Anything that's davar shem gufo, you can't have a shlichus, right? Most of the, right. So, but let's say stealing, that's only derabanan, right? There are ways that you can steal that might be only derabanan, indirectly stealing. So let's say I send my Gnevas das. Okay, maybe that's a little tricky. Right, but okay, fine, whatever it is, some sort of stealing derabanan, I send my shliach to do it, they do it. So what do we say? Do we say, on the one hand, midaraisa, they didn't do anything usher, so they should just be a normal shliach, so I should be responsible, because they're my shliach. Or do we say, no, even though it's only usher midarabanan, they should realize, this is usher midarabanan, I shouldn't do this, and somehow that blocks, that will undermine the shlichus. So that's the question the Mishnah Melech is dealing with, and he looks at a couple of different Gemaras in Bava Kama, that talk about Ein Shliach L'Dvar Aveira. We'll just jump to the second of them because it's a bit simpler without background information. So this is now the fifth line, about halfway through. Gam Be'oso Perek, Daf Nun Aleph. Amrinan, Bor Shel Shnei Shukvin. Heichi Mishkachas. The Gemara talks about a pit that's owned by two partners. And it says, what's the scenario? How do you have a scenario of a pit that's owned by two partners? So it suggests, E deshavu shliach tarvaihu ve'amri le'zil karilan. Let's say two people, they say, okay, we have a business venture. The two of us together will hire a shliach. He'll dig the pit for us, and it'll be our jointly owned pit. If you do that, ve'azil karaluhu, and then he goes ahead and digs the pit, ein shliach l'dvar aveira. In such a case, there's no shliach l'dvar aveira because he should know better. Divrei Rava, divrei Talmud. So therefore, that wouldn't be the pit of the two people who hired this guy. It would be the pit of the guy who dug it, and he would be responsible, not the two people who hired him. Sorry? Well, fine. There may be another scenario, but that's not what this line in the Gemara is saying, right? This line in the Gemara is suggesting that they hired someone as a shliach for the purpose... Okay, so that's exactly what he's about to say. Vaverazo, who, Masha Pirish Rashi, Dainu da Usr Lakalko Rishus Arabim. What's the Avera? The Avera is, you can't damage the Rishus Arabim. You have no right to damage the Rishus Arabim. And he continues, he said this a line earlier, and he's saying this is now the same, that should just be a Derabanan, right? Jump up to the bottom of line 4, the end of line 4. The Isr Zed, the Mekalko Rishus Arabim, Pshita da Havimi Derabanan. Obviously, it's only Derabanan to damage Rishus Arabim. Why? Because there's no pasuk in the Torah that says, do not damage the public domain. So it's only Derabanan. And still, Vafilu Hochi Amrinan, Ein Shliach L'Dvar Aveira. So we see from here, the Gemara says, Ein Shliach L'Dvar Aveira, even though it's only an Isser Derabanan, because damaging the public domain is only an Isser Derabanan. So it must be that even by Derabanan, we say Ein Shliach L'Dvar Aveira. That's what he wants to prove. Now, what's he assuming? Right, as we just said, he's assuming there's no D'oraisa prohibition against damaging the public domain. Now that's a big assumption. The Minchas Chinuch is going to question him on that. So source 3 here, and he gets into a little bit of background about the Rambam. We'll start from the third line, about 5-6 words in. Uve Mishnah L'Melech, what we just read. Perek Beis, Milchus Rotzeach, Hevi B'Shem Marit, Mesubuk Im Gam, D'Rabbanan Kevin in Isra Torah, Efshri Yeshliach L'Dvar Aveira. Fine, that's the question, right? Is there Shliach L'Dvar Aveira by D'Rabbanan? Zva Mishnah L'Melech, Hiksha Alav, Misugyazo de Machshibor shall shutvim have a matzil meimar e the tray amru le aichad sheyachbor bor hayin shliach l'dvar aveira uvedafkin gimel perish rashi the havli aveira the asu the kalkel brishus arabim. Everything we just said, he's quoting this. The iser kalkel brishus arabim who rocked derabanan, right? As Rashi says, it's only us who derabanan to damage the public. Well, Rashi says the problem is the reason why he's not a shliach is because ain shliach l'dvar aveira and the aveira is damaging the public domain. And the Mishnah Melech says damaging the public domain is only Derabanan. We call Makom Amrinan, the Ein Shliach L'Dvar Aveira, Muchach, that proves, says the Mishnah Melech, the Af B'Isser Derabanan, Ein Shliach L'Dvar Aveira, Ayin Sham. That's his paraphrase, the Mishnah Melech. And the Minchas Chinuch now says, V'Eini Mavin, I don't understand this. Devadai Lasos Takala, Bershus Arabim, Sheyuchal Lios Misa, O Hezek, Le'adam, Devadai Hu Isser Torah. Obviously, creating, let's say, making a pit in the public domain. You know what happens when you make a pit? Someone might trip and fall and die. That's very dangerous. So making a takala, making a danger in the public domain that someone might die or be damaged, bivada, who is her Torah? That's obviously a d'oraisa. And then he appeals to the Rambam, which kasev Rambam perakid aleph mehilchos rotzeach afilu birshus aser. Even doing that in your own field, creating a public nuisance where someone might die is aser. Shiucholios misa. Sorry, virashi nakat iser kilkul. Rashi, he says, well, it's kill. You know, you don't have a right to damage the public domain. Rashi's not saying that's the only problem. Rashi, of course, would agree that there's actually an Isser D'oraisa for damaging, for making a pit in a public property because someone might fall in and die. So according to the Minchas Chinuch, everyone agrees that making a bor in the Rishus HaRabim would be D'oraisa, even in Rishus HaYachid if it's dangerous.
But
so
if there's no damage, so if you just make a bor and never saying you're over an Isser, even if it never has caused an Ezekiel ever.
That's what it sounds like from the Minchas Chinuch here, yeah.
So if I light a fire in my yard and never goes anywhere, I'm not over an Isser. Even if I'm a bad neighbor, if I light a shore loose, I'm not over an Isser.
How would you prove that?
I mean, why would it, how would you ever, I mean, how try to prove that it is an isser. It's so, like you have to.
So I'll say we've done it. That's our discussion today. Are you over an isser if you do something really unsafe and no one gets damaged? Is that usser? Right? Even if they get damaged, is it usser? Which, but certainly in this case, where no one gets hurt, well, let's say someone's damaged and you get punted, you get off on some sort of technicality. But even if not, even if no one was damaged, maybe there's a reason to say you are chayav. We'll see. Their replying will actually fit well with the view that you are chayav. So we'll see that. But this man has seen it too. He says, digging the pit is creating public danger. That's an issur d'oraisa. Yeah?
Is the issur d'oraisa living here?
Okay, great. So we'll get to that. That's another one of the suggestions. For bor, that actually works well, right? Like it's literally a michshol that you're putting in front of someone who would trip there. So we'll see. That is one of the possibilities. The Binchas Chinuch himself doesn't spell that out. Interestingly enough, I guess. Almost, right? But if you looked at him on the mitzvah of Lifnei Iver, I assume he discusses in great depth whether it applies to this or not. There's actually a big machlokas. Some people like quoting this, whether Lifnei Iver applies to a literal blind person stumbling on a stumbling block or not, or whether it only applies to the more expansive cases that the Gemara talks about. But yeah, definitely we'll see, and we'll see in a few minutes. Some apply that. The Minchas Chinuch could have applied it here, but chooses not to mention it. Yeah?
It almost sounds like the Minchas Chinuch talking about a subject, which, how could that be?
How could it be usher if it's a suffek? Well, I think what he's saying is what's the part that's usher is not that people might. It's not that the suffek that people might die. It's the vadai of creating a danger, right? You're definitely creating something dangerous. That's what's usher. In terms of the results, that'll depend on what happens. Are you also responsible for someone dying or someone being injured? Well, we'll have to wait and see. But the very act of damaging the public domain is an isser d'oraisa according to Michal Skinner. We haven't yet gotten to what isser d'oraisa, right? We should just mention about this machlokas, it's limited in a few different ways. We're only talking about bor right now, right? Is it clear? Would the Minchas Chinuch necessarily say the same thing about a shor? Maybe yes, maybe no. Because a bor, you can say that's like, you know, putting a big hole in the road where someone can fall into. That's sort of more concrete, pun not intended, than letting loose a shor, right? So you might distinguish in that way. And also, you might distinguish in the opposite direction, meaning maybe maybe we're only talking about something like the Rishus HaRabin, right? Because the Mishnah Melech talks about being Mekalkel the Rishus HaRabin, there's no Isser D'oraisa, but maybe he would admit that damaging another person, as opposed to this public entity, maybe it's worse to damage a person, and that would be a D'oraisa. And at the same time, right, the Minchas Chinuch's argument is that it's dangerous. What if something's not dangerous? What if I punch a hole in the wall? Other than, you know, bruising my hand, that's not really dangerous, but is that still usser? Would the Minchas Chinuch say that's usser? It's not fully clear. We haven't looked at the full range of cases, but at least this is sort of a locus classicus, like a direct machlokes over, really it's about intuitions more than anything else. They're not really quoting sources, right? The question is making a pit in the public domain, making a bor in the Shusar Rabim, is that usser only midrabanan? Okay, you don't have the right to damage public property, or no, it's an isser d'oraisa of creating something dangerous, right? It's very clear machlokes here. That we see. And the Mishnah Melech is this more minimalist view, right? He might say, in theory, if he held strong to his opinion, he might say, throughout our whole shir, everything we say is false, right? The whole shir, any attempt to find a pasuk that says there's actually a real Isser D'oraisa to be mazik is going to be wrong. It's all going to be wrong. Maybe the Mishnah Melech would disagree with every single thing we're about to say. Or maybe not. You might be mechalik. But at least, if you want to take the extreme skeptical view about there being an Isser Lahazik, the Mishnah Melech would be a good person to go with. Yeah, Avi.
Yeah, but then the more Mishpat HaKad with the Knesset, which implies like there that's wrong, which is almost an implication that it can't be necessary, right? Because if it's not for a non-Jew, if you don't have one of the mitzvahs for a non-Jew, then how could it be necessary?
Okay, we'll hold that thought because we'll see. There might actually be an Isser for a non-Jew to be Mazik. So that's another source. Everyone, I feel like between everyone, we already got to all the sources that we haven't gotten to yet. So great. Hold that thought as well. Okay, if there are no other questions, let's jump in to some of the specific prohibitions, some of the specific makoros that are suggested. We'll start with ones that are more general, that sort of apply broadly to Torah, and will also apply to Nezek, but not only to Nezek. So the first source, and this may be the most oft-cited source for on this issue, the Yad Rama in Baba Basra, he says, Ugrama bin Ezekin Pater. Right, and that's, you know, the line we just saw. Where do we see it? Right, we saw something very similar on Kaf Beis Amud Beis. Very similar line on Kaf Vav Amud Aleph. Grama bin Ezekin Pater. It's Pater and it's Aser. Right, you're exempt for Grama, but it's still prohibited. Hainu Taima. Here's the reason why. Why you're exempt from payment. Dinehi delo ahanu masav begufo shel davar hanizak. Okay, it's true, granted, that your actions weren't effective with the guf, with the body of the damaged thing. Mihu hai maise gufe dahanu be maisav isurahu. That action that you did is itself usur. So even though, right, it's indirect, the damage you committed was indirect, and we can't hold you liable for it because it was indirect enough, but it was actually usur to do what you did. Why is it usur? De usur lemigram midi de asimine hezeka leinchi. Right, this is a very clear formulation. It's prohibited to do something or even to cause something that leads to damage for other people. Right? It's usur to do that. Why? And here he gives a couple of examples. Imi shum, lifnei iver. Right? So he mentions lifnei iver, as we heard from Tirza, lo sitein mechshol, v'imi shum, v'ahavta l'reacha kamocha. Those are his two examples. Now, both of these mitzvos are very, very broad. We'll see that in one second. We'll look at the Rambams. But both lifnei iver and v'ahavta l'reacha kamocha are very broad mitzvos, to the point where, you know, again, this sort of proves the point, right? If the point was there's no obvious clear source to prohibit damage, the fact that the Yad Ramah's first resort is to these super broad mitzvos, as we'll see in a minute, is a good indication that there's no obvious source to start with. Yeah, was there a hand? So that's in the Gemara there, meaning this whole question of the Gemara, Rava versus Garmi, is it the same or not? The Ramban, other Rishonim, without going into all those details, at least some cases of Brahma, some indirect damage was exempt. But the Yad Ramah says, even if you're exempt, even if it's a loophole, it's still usher to do it. Why? It's usher to cause damage. How does he know? He has two different psukim. Lifnei iver or v'ahavta l'reacha kamocha. We'll start with v'ahavta l'reacha kamocha. Sorry? Oh yeah, very much so. Exactly. So according to that, and we'll read the Rambam in source 7 in a minute and flesh this out a bit more, but according to that suggestion, it would be a bitul aseh, right? It's not really a lav, it's a bitul aseh. Again, this shows that it's a relatively weak prohibition, right? It's not like, I don't know, starting a fire on Shabbos, that's a lav, that's kares. Starting a fire that burns down someone's house, assuming no one dies, that's a bitul aseh. You're not loving your neighbor properly. Right, it feels a little weaker, and it is right. At least if we take that suggestion. So let's look at source number 7. This is the Rambam in Hilchos.
That highlights, you know, the fact that no one gets malchus for nezek for not having a whole conversation coming to Rabbi. So if it was an issue of nezek and there's a thief to pay, we have another problem. It also points to the fact that we're looking for a law where it doesn't exist.
Right, now there are some cases where there might be a lav, usually because you're paying, that would sort of obviate the malchus.
Well, I guess Adam's about it.
There is one case. I didn't include it on the sheet in the end, I think, but there is one case where, because for whatever reason you don't have to pay, we still think about the possibility of malchus. I'm not remembering the details right now, but it does come up a little bit, but and you have to figure out what the lav is there, and it's not the general lav, right? It's a specific scenario. But yeah, the fact that generally we don't have this question indicates that we're not working with a clear, obvious lav. So we're not even up to lifnei iver. First, we're going to analyze v'ahavta, and then we'll get to lifnei iver. Okay. So and then we'll hear your thoughts. So source number 7, the Rambam in Hilchos Avel, Perek Yadalid. This is the Rambam's. It's sort of an odd place to do this, Hilchos Avel, but this is where the Rambam discusses primarily the mitzvah v'ahavta l'reacha kamocha. Mitzvah say shel divrehem. There's a rabbinic, a midrabanan mitzvah, levaker cholim ulanachem avelim ulahotzi hameis ulahachnis hakala ulalavos haorchim ulhisasik b'chol tzarchi hakvura lasiz al kasef v'leil chifanav lisva v'lachor v'likbor v'chin l'sameach hakala v'achasan ulasad m'chol tzarcheim. A whole list of things, right? Biker cholim, nichem avelim, taking care of all the needs of a dead body, carrying it out, taking care of all the needs of a wedding, etc. The Eluhein Kmilas Chasadim Shebegufo She'en Lehem Shir. Right, this is Kmilas Chasadim. One does with their body. There's no limit. The Rambam says when we say that you know there's a shir for how much tzedakah you give, that's money, right? You're only supposed to give more than not. You're not supposed to give more than a chomesh in a normal scenario. But chesed with your body, meaning like going and doing things, going to a wedding, to Yismei HaChasam HaKala, going to a shiva, there's no shir, right? There's no limit on that. Aval pisha kol mitzvos elu midivrehem. All of these mitzvos are midrabanan, this whole list. But he says, harei hein bichlal, ve'avtal reyecha kamocha. It's all part of the larger mitzvah of loving your fellow. Kol dvarim she'ata rotze she'yasu osam l'cha acherim. Everything you want other people to do for you, aseata osam le'achicha b'toro v'mitzvos. Do those for your fellow, right? Re'acha, your fellow in Torah and mitzvos. So it's sort of this interesting status, right? It's a mitzvah. These are mitzvahs derabanan that tie into a deoraisa. How exactly do you understand that? Presumably, the simplest way of explaining it is it's a chiyuv derabanan, meaning the level of obligation to go to a shiva of someone that you know that would appreciate it, or a wedding, etc., is derabanan. But you're mekayim a deoraisa. If you do it, you fulfill the deoraisa of ve'ahavta le'recha kamocha, because you're loving your fellow as yourself. You're fulfilling a deraisa, even though the chiyuv, the obligation, was only midrabanan. But what we see from this Rambam is a very, very broad application of ve'ahavta le'recha kamocha. Basically, any mitzvah of chesed is a kiyum of ve'ahavta le'recha kamocha. And throw in the yad rama, it's a different application. It's definitely, there's a reason the Rambam doesn't put it in this halacha, because it's very different. But it fits with this paradigm of a very broad ve'ahavta le'recha kamocha. Right, doing chesed, you fulfill ve'ahavta le'recha kamocha, and damaging someone's stuff, you know what? You wouldn't want them to do it to you. That's not what a good, loving neighbor would do. So, you're mevatel ve'ahavta le'recha kamocha. Again, is that the most severe thing in the world? No, it's actually relatively, you know, bitul aseh is not great. You shouldn't do it. But in the grand scheme of things, there are a lot of things that are worse, which is why, you know, it's sort of not the strongest thing to appeal to by the Yad Rama. His other suggestion of lifnei iver is somewhat stronger. And if we look at the Rambam on Lifnei Iver, right, and the beginning is sort of in a very specific context, but then it gets broader. Kol she'asur limkor legoy, asur limkor liyisrael shehu listis. Anything that's prohibited to sell to a Gentile because you're worried they would use it for bad purposes, it's also prohibited to sell to a Jew who's a robber or who's cheating the system in whatever way. V'neshem nimtza mechazik yedei over avera umachshilo. You're supporting an avari, you're supporting a sinner and helping them, and you're tripping them up. You're helping, by supporting them, you're helping them do more averos, commit more fraud. V'chein kol ha-machshil iver ba-davar. Similarly, any time you trip up someone who is blind about a certain matter, right, that's obviously a metaphor, who somehow doesn't see the right way. V'si'o etza she'eno hogenes, you give them bad advice. This could be extremely broad. Anytime you give someone bad advice, Oshe shechizek yidei over avera, shehu iver ve'eno roa derecha emes, imei tavas libo, right? Someone's doing something terrible, thinks it's fine, he's so committed to whatever terrible thing he's doing, he thinks it's fine, and you say, oh, you know, good going, right? It's great that you committed this and that fraud. You're supporting them in that. Hariza over below sa'ase, that's actually a lav, that's an isser doraisa. Shenemar, v'lifnei iver lo sitein michshol, right? You're putting a stumbling block in front of the blind. Haba lito mimcha etza tenlo etza hogenes lo. And someone asks for advice, give them good advice, not bad advice. But so we see from here the Rambam has a very broad definition of lifnei iver, right? About including etza hogenes. If you give someone bad advice, and you know there is some discussion as to how exactly we interpret that. Is it any sort of bad advice? Does it have to be malicious? But if you give someone bad advice, you're potentially violating lifnei iver. And what the Yad Rama is saying here, a step further. Although in some cases, in the case of Bor, it's in some ways more obvious, right? Literally, lifnei iver lo sitein michshol. You're literally putting a stumbling block in front of the blind. Someone might not see the hole and fall in. But to extend it to other cases of nezek, it's a bit less obvious, right? To say that, I don't know, letting your ox run around, goring people, to say that that's lifnei iver, I don't know, is it really lifnei iver? It's a different process, right? But you can say it's part of this idea, it's no worse than Eitza Sheina Hogenes. You're giving someone bad advice, that's Lifnei Iver. So if you're creating public nuisances, that's also Lifnei Iver, even if it's not a literal Lifnei Iver Lo Sitein Michshol. So at least there's a certain logic to the Yad Rama's extension there.
It's strange, I was going to say,
same application of the behavior. Both cases, you know, two categories of behavior. You're going to have advice or you're enabling somebody to do that behavior.
Mm-hmm.
In both cases, the person himself does it.
Mm-hmm.
You're just simply doing something that enables them to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? But here, it's not that. What you're doing is actually creating the problem.
I hear what you're saying, right? So you're saying the Yad Ramah's answer...
Because there's a recipient.
The Yad Ramah's approach works better for Adam Hamazik, or Adam, you know, who's doing something, which actually, if you look at the context, right, he's talking about a case of grumma. Usually grumma is where a person does something which indirectly leads to damage, right? So it's a lot easier to say it there by grumma, where it's a person doing something indirectly, and harder to say that by Aish or by Shor. By Bor, it's in some ways easier, just because of the particulars of the Te'iver. But yeah, that's a fair point. And we shouldn't take the Yad Ramah further than the example he gives for that reason. That's a fair point. Yeah, Bernie? That's a good question. The Rambam here seems to group these together. You'd have to really look at how he formulates this Trei Dinara, like the classical case of the favor of giving someone something to do an Avera with. But from this source, it seems like he's really playing up these alternate versions of Lifnei Iver to the full Isser. So you'd have to really look into that in greater depth in the Rambam. Certainly, not everyone agrees with this Rambam. Right? Some people would say, okay, this isn't really Lifnei Iver. But for the Rambam here, at least, he seems to really be taking these seriously. How seriously? Is it exactly the same as, you know, Moshe Yayin L'Nazir B'Trevir Denara? You'd have to look in more depth. Yeah, well. Right. So Baal Tashas is its own interesting sugya, because at least for the Rambam there's like two different levels of Baal Tashas. The primary Isser you only violate if you cut down a fruit tree. Everything else, every other violation of something that's wasted is like a secondary violation. It's not the full Isser. Yeah, almost like a tolda, right? I don't know if you use that language, but yeah, that's be similar to that. And I think you'd have the additional challenge of it not being direct. Like, you know, most nezek, certainly with, you know, a shor roaming around, it's hard to say it's baal tashkis, because what are you being mashkis? Like, you're doing something dangerous. You don't even know what you're going to be mashkis, right? So you don't know what it's going to do. So, you know, and also there's some quality of nezek that's in some sense more than baal tashkis. Meaning baal tashkis is being wasteful. Okay, but this is, it's sort of like, you know, you're taking advantage of someone else. You're hurting someone else, which isn't really recognized in the Baal Tashas. But it's an interesting idea. I didn't see it suggested as the Isser, but it's an interesting idea. Let's just quickly look at a couple more suggestions for general sources for the prohibition. The just an example of Mafkia She'arim, She'atzar Peros Be'eretz Yisrael, all sorts of manipulating the market to make the prices go up and hurt other people. The Shulchan Aruch in Source 9 says, Hariza Kimal V'Ribis. And the Sma says, no, what's this comparison? How is it Kimal V'Ribis? He has a nice general pasuk of V'Che Aficha Imach, right, which is applied in the context of Ribis, because the next pasuk is, Es Kas Bechalo Sitin Lo B'Neshech, Umar Bisol Sitin Achleacha. So it has all sorts of applications in terms of Ribis, but it also has a very, very general sense, right? You should act such that your brother, your fellow, can live alongside you. If you manipulate the market such that people are, you know, your neighbors can't buy food because everything costs 10 times what it's supposed to cost, that's not v'chei aficha imach. And that's usher like ribis. So I saw Rav Lichtenstein suggested maybe we can say this also in the context of nezek, right? If you let your shore roam around damaging people, if you make pits in the Rishus HaRabim, if you start fires, that's not v'chei aficha imach. People, you can't have neighbors like that. It's not, you're not being neighborly So it's not v'chei achicha imach. So from this, the sma here, we see that it's really used in this general halachic sense. Maybe we can also extend it to the context of nezek. A couple more examples, and then we'll close at the bottom of page two. Two different Rambans. One Ramban is v'asisa yashav atov, which again, a very, very, very general mitzvah to do what's right and what's good. And the Ramban himself here says, you know, al derech hapshat, there are all these specific mitzvos in context that the psukim are talking about. But he also says the second paragraph in source 11, v'zeh inyan gadol, this is a major thing. You can't possibly list in the Torah all the ways of properly interacting with your neighbors and friends. How to interact with people, how to negotiate, and all of the proper laws for civilization. You can't possibly list all that in the Torah. The Torah is going to come and run out of space. It mentions a lot of them in the psukim there. It gives a whole list. Then Chazar Lomar b'derech klal. Then it says, in a general sense, sheyase atov v'hayasher b'chol davar, do what's right and good with all things. And that includes pshara, right? Compromise, lifnim mishuras adin, going within the line of the law, meaning not taking full advantage of your rights, even in a way that damages someone, to pull back when necessary. Ukigon mashis kira b'dina debar metzra, right? Bar metzra. Where if someone's selling a field, the neighbor gets first dibs. Why? Because having two connected plots is more valuable than everyone having one plot. At least in the reality back then, where they were farming and such. I don't know about contemporary Teaneck real estate. You'll have to ask your local real estate person. But at least back then, letting the next door neighbor have the field, that was better for everyone on average, right? If you have a society where everyone lets the neighbor buy their neighbor's field, that's better for everyone. So that's, you don't need to list that in the Torah. It's part of this general idea of asisi yashavato, v'afilu masha amru pirko na dibro b'nachasim abrios, right, having a smile, talking nicely with people, achi kar b'chol inyan tam v'yashar, being called a good, straight person, a good person to interact with, that's part of asisi yashavato. So presumably, if you have your oxen running around goring people, you're not doing asisi yashavato. That's another possible general mitzvah. And now this last one, this goes back to what Avi said before. This is the Ramban about Sheva Mitzvah Bnei Noach, and specifically about dinim. It's a big question what dinim are. According to the Rambam, dinim means to set up a legal system. That, right, the part one of the seven Noachide laws, to set up a legal system. The Ramban says, V'aldati adinin shemanu l'bnei Noach b'sheva mitzvah shalhem, einam l'hoshiv dayanu b'chol pelech b'lvad. It's not just about having judges in every region. He says, what's the mitzvah of dinim? It's all of these mitzvos that we're used to understanding as like part of the Taryag mitzvos, right? Almost all the different obligations and prohibitions, stealing and overcharging and not paying workers. And the laws of Shomrim, that's what we have, right? Laws of Shomrim that in Bava Kama comes up, Shomer Chinam, Shomer Sachar, etc. Ones umifate, right? Rape cases, Avos Nezikin, again, our Mishnah, Chovah B'chaver, injuring someone, lending money, doing business, all of these things are included in Dinim for non-Jews. Ke'inyan Dinim Shinitzav Yisrael, just like the Jewish Dinim. If you violate these laws, right, you, whatever exactly it is, he has a whole list. You rape someone, you injure someone, you break, you damage something. We say, the Gemara in Sanhedrin says, that violating any of the Sheva Mitzvos gets the death penalty. So what the Ramban says, it's a little harsh, that's a discussion for another time. But the Ramban says, if you hidli kedisho, right, if you burn the field of your fellow, a Gentile does that, that's chayv misa. Well, if it's chayv misa, what does that imply? That it's Usr, right? So it's clear, it seems very clear from this Ramban that there is an Isser for Bnei Noah to damage things. Otherwise, it wouldn't be Chayav Misa. So it's interesting. How do you extrapolate that to Jews? Do you say, well, if it's an Isser for non-Jews, obviously it's an Isser for Jews. Then we need to figure out which one, or, you know, because generally we say the Sheva Mitzvos directly don't apply to Jews, but also, you know, Leika Midayim, Deli Yisrael, Ashari, Ula Akum Asr, right? We say that generally aren't things that are prohibited for non-Jews and permitted for Jews, in terms of categories at least. So presumably the Ramban would imply that for the Ramban, there must be an Isser on of damaging things as well, although it doesn't tell us exactly what it is. Okay, we are out of time, so we're going to pause here now. Next time we'll finish up more specific psukim and lavim that talk particularly about damage, not like good, you know, be a good person, which includes not damaging things, but specific psukim and images that tie into that, and then we'll move on to the next issue.